Covering the Western Hockey League from south of the border, this is the U.S. Division Podcast.
Welcome to the U.S. Division. This is Scott Sepich. A bit of a bonus episode here today. I'm calling this episode 12A because the last episode I did with Winterhawks blogger Chad Balcom, we talked so long that I ended up splitting it into two podcasts. So I brought you the first half of that one a little over a week ago, and now here with some time in between series, I'm going to go ahead and give you the second part of the podcast with Chad, where we go off on all kinds of tangents. Some of them are Winterhawks related, some of them are about broadcasters in the league and different media related things. So go ahead and listen to that, and I will be back later in the week with some new content about the upcoming Portland-Kelowna series. For now, let's get back to it with Chad, and we're going to be picking up a conversation that we started about the Winterhawks have a promotion with Jack in the Box where they score 4 goals in a game, that they actually hand out coupons for free Jumbo Jack burgers, and Chad has been keeping up all year with how many exactly coupons they've had to give up. So we're going to pick that conversation up right in the middle of it now. Do we know how many of the 36 games they did not score for? Off the top of your head?
I do not know. I was keeping a document with that, and then I ended up having to reinstall Windows because you have to reinstall Windows. And so basically then what I was doing is just piggybacking on whatever the last game was. So I do not know how many games it was, just how many burgers and how many calories.
Yeah, so anybody listening here, the Winterhawks give out a coupon for a free Jumbo Jack burger at Jack in the Box every time the team scores 4 goals, which happened nearly every game. I mean, there were probably, games?
It's got to be 75, 80% of the games.
Yeah, I want to say that, and most of them were probably in a 3-week period when the team was kind of a mess. But and so, Chad, you've been keeping this running count of calories that they've given out over the years and sent out, made a graphic each game. And what was the, it went over 4 million, is that right, the calories?
A little bit. We are currently sitting, with one game into the playoffs that they have hit, we are sitting at 108 million.
108 million. Oh, wow. I guess I underestimated that a little bit.
Well, there's 489 calories apiece. So again, it's simply the total attendance for the games.
Multiplied by calorie count.
4 goals multiplied by calorie count. And I was prorated every once in a while, and I'm like, man, they can hit 100 million, but they got to do it right. And then even late in the year, I was like, they got to get big crowds and hit almost every one. Well, they had big crowds that hit almost every time. But, you know, it was a game that I played to where, like, four home games in, and they'd hit 3 times. And I was like, you know what? This team's going to score goals. And I was like, I think it would be fun to add this up. And I was like, oh, it'd be real fun to add up the calories because that number's going to get big, you know. And full disclosure, you know, we're talking about this on the Puck Landy podcast last night, that I went with the official jack-in-the-box number of 489. Well, third-party, you know, caloriecount.com or whatever it was, they're claiming 600. And so then, you know, just like I said last night, just like Todd Roman is the straightest shooter in the league, and 21 other guys are totally biased the other way, and they're and I can't handle them. You know, it's probably in Jack in the Box's best interest to push that number down a little bit, and it's probably in CalorieCount.com's interest to bump that number up. So who do you believe, right? But, you know, I went with that smaller number to start out, so I just kind of stuck with it. But, I mean, if you added that difference to all those burgers, I mean, that would be a much bigger number. So it's been fun. And, you know, I couldn't believe it did for 4 goals. I've never heard that for 4 goals. Everywhere else does 5, you know. But, and that would be an interesting count, how many, you know, they probably had 5 most of those. Probably the vast majority of them.
You wonder how many of those got cashed in, and if somebody in the, whoever was negotiating that deal on the Jack in the Box side, didn't do their homework, obviously.
Well, You know, and maybe...
Because they could have gone with the word jumbo instead, and they had five. I mean, you know, they didn't need to go to Jack.
That is a great idea. But, you know, you as a real journalist, as opposed to me as a random dude, you know, maybe you could get a hold of somebody over there, because I would love to. You know, in the middle of covering wrestling, football, baseball, football, and everything else that you cover, maybe you can get a hold of somebody at Jack headquarters. But, you know, if we are the typical Winterhawks household, you know, we had a ton of those things, and I think I cashed in four of them, which to me is a pretty good year. I mean, you can't eat that stuff every day.
Right.
And so she took a bunch to work and gave them out. I took a bunch to work and gave them out. You know, so I think a lot of ours have been used, but not by us, you know, because you couldn't. You know, I took some to work, put them on the bulletin board. You know, so I would think that most people with a stack of them, you can use a couple of them, you know, but hey, we've been trying to get them used. And I wonder, I mean, how much is a jumbo jack to them? It obviously gets them a lot of buzz. You know, I remember the Winterhawks posted on a Facebook page a huge pallet of those things. Like, yep, well, here it is for December. You know, and it's definitely a fun story. And I would love to talk to them and see how it has worked out for Jack in the Box, you know? And if maybe they should have went with five. But again, I don't know if that would even matter that much this year. If they put up four, they probably put up six.
Oh, you're giving me an idea, so maybe I'll go with that. Maybe I'll look into it.
Oh, it'd be a fun story. I think it'd get a lot of buzz.
You talked about... you sort of alluded to announcer bias there, or the concept of fans always believe that their announcer is the only one telling the truth, and that every other one is the shifting the truth. I've been called upon to do color commentary for this series for the Victoria broadcast, so I'm apparently going to be the one that one of the ones that's on the wrong end of things for the Portland fans.
You are about to be the worst dude.
About to be a really terrible dude, I guess.
It was nice knowing you, Scott.
Yeah. Well,
this conversation's over.
This is a new territory for me, but I have to learn a lot about the Victoria Royals in about the next 18 hours. So see how that goes.
Well, you just got to know the numbers, but
yeah.
I mean, they're jersey numbers. But yeah, and again, you as journalist, as opposed to me as just opinionated loudmouth, I think, you know, if you're a guy trying to play it down the middle, that's what you do. So I would think that would help, you know, and it always amazes me how many teams don't have a color guy, and teams never have a color guy on the road, you know. And to be honest, that's where I want to be. I want to be the color guy eventually at some point, you know, but I don't know how you get that gig. You know, and I have bid on it every once in a while. The Winterhawks used to do that for charity auctions, but I just never have had the money to win it, I guess. You know, you get one period or whatever. Remember, did you catch any of when the Silvertips did that? And it must have been against the Winterhawks, because I remember it, and it was just...
Yes, yeah, I did. I listened to that game, and... I figured it out about 5 minutes into that. I'm like, this guy had to have won this. Like, there's no way that this is. And then I looked it up, and I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, he did win this.
And this is something else, you know. I mean, there, you know, their guy Ken Simpson, who's been there even longer than Huntington has. You know that. I mean, he knows the game. And I especially like it when they have the after the show call-in guy. He does a really good job up there. But yeah, that the dude that won the gig. I mean. I'm, you know, hey, it's for charity. I'm all for that. But yeah, he was something else.
Yeah, he only spoke about, what, maybe three times a period, but it was always gold when he did, you know, so.
Yeah, these young kids, I mean, they sure play hard. Right on. Good call.
Well, that's what you get when you just put it up for sale.
Hey, I'd do it. I wonder what he paid for it. You know, I mean, I'll do a certain type of color. I mean, I just like to do it at some point. You know, again, just as a guy that's opinionated, I'd be a little scared about live radio because, you know, I've got the mouth of a sailor, but I'd like to think I can, you know, put myself in pro mode.
You got to know how to switch it off. That's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, and it's, you know, depending on what team it is, you know, different teams have, some teams have, you know, actual team employees as the broadcasters, and other teams have just contract out to a radio station who provides the broadcaster. So it's a little bit different. Certain guys can get away with staying a little bit more than other guys can, just based on who's paying the bill.
Yeah, when you're Gordon McGarva, he's a school teacher. You know, there's no reining him in. He is, you know, wild and free. You know, and you got to respect that. You know, and he just throws things out there that sometimes they have their format. I listen to a lot of Kelowna games, and they have their format to where, you know, this is the three stars. Well, we're only going to do one star tonight. You know, and this is the garbage goal of the game. Well, it really wasn't a garbage goal, so we're going to give it to this other dude. We're going to give it to the goalie. Okay. You know, I mean, there's something beautiful to that, is do whatever they want, you know. And I know in the same broadcast booth, you know, sometimes, you know, Regan Bartel, he doesn't ride with the guys, he drives himself. You know, and so there's kind of something neat about the distance there, but at the same time, you know, if you want your guys the most informed, they're going to be on the bus, they're going to be at practice, you know. So it's a double-edged sword, but, you know, obviously if whoever's paying my paycheck, well, yes, they are the best guys. Thank you very much. You know, so there's, you know, it's. I guess you got to look at it like, is your play-by-play guy a journalist, or is it a news piece? Is it an opinion piece? You know, are you a talk show host that is on a cable news station, or are you the anchor person of a news broadcast? They are very different. You know.
Yeah. Well, it does come down to, because for a lot of teams, and this is true in minor leagues of all sports, baseball especially, a lot of times to have a broadcast, you have to have basically have an employee do it, because the station's not going to pay for it. So you have to have an employee as a team. You usually have to have that employee be double as your PR guy, or be the guy who sells the ad time for the broadcast and things like that. So a lot of times it's out of necessity. You have to have somebody who's kind of stuck in being more of a PR guy / broadcaster, which is what some of the teams in this league do. And others are, you know, like Regan in Kelowna, for instance, just is an employee of the radio station. So it's a little bit different for him.
They're small town operations, you know, and as much as I would dream about covering 72 games, a playoff run, and then, you know, going home after that, you know, John Keane is on there at 6 in the morning reading traffic and weather on the nines.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of the guys are in the office, you know, selling ads during the day, whatever, and I'm like, well, you got to work a 9-to-5 and then do 72 games? Maybe I don't want that gig after all, but, you know, it kind of makes sense. But because you got to, again, you know, you got to cover the bills. And these teams, it isn't like they're swimming in it. You know, it's swimming the money of Scrooge McDuck as far as being able to afford to pay guys like that. You know, so it makes sense. And it's like anything, it's a give and take.
Yeah, well, I know I work in baseball during the summer as a scorekeeper, and the radio broadcaster with the team in Kaiser, he's a full-time employee of the team, even in the off-season. I mean, he works there all off-season, and then during the season, he works all day, and then broadcasts 76 games in 80 days. And that's baseball. Those are, you know, when you talk pre-game, post-game, and the game, you're talking 4 hours on the radio every night for 3 months. But he also has a full-time job that he has to go to, too. So it's a tough gig when you're doing it that much, and especially when you have to travel with the team on the bus too.
Well, he's just hoping to get called up to Double-A.
Yeah, it's all you're doing it for the chance to move up. So,
you know, and with the right injury to the play-by-play guy, you know, you get your opportunity. You know, so you're just. I mean, you hate to root for an injury, but that's how you get called up a lot of times, right?
Although I have to wonder, I don't know. I've never actually asked Todd Roman if he has. He just seems like he's he's supposed to be the Winterhawks radio guy forever. Like, this seems to be like since his dad did it forever, you know. Like, I don't know if he has designs of moving on further than this. I actually don't. I've never asked him that. I'll ask him that sometime.
I was really disappointed, you know, when Scooter stepped down. I mean, I only caught up a couple years of his reign, but I was like, man, that is so cool. 25 years, you know. I mean, that's almost since they got here. Like, that's awesome, you know. And when, let me think here. Who's the longtime PA announcer?
Folick? Dan?
Dan Folick, yeah. Where's 91? You know, in the same concept that he'd been there 25 years, whatever, with that great signature voice. And I was like, I would just love the tradition that this team had. You know, that, you know, two Memorial Cups, all, you know, these guys that have been here forever. And then during the Dark Ages, boom, they were gone. And, you know, I probably would have got the hell out of town, too, at that point. You know, and it's nice to see that, especially with the Scooter, that he's back. You know, and you see, and now you see Dan Folick at the games, and sometimes he does the anthem and these things. But I mean, I just love that tradition, and I thought it was so good. You know, and so, you know, that's part of the, one of the positives of having Todd around. But who knows? Could be the next Johnny Rosen. You know, hey there, welcome to Silver Tip Country fans. Or and he parlayed it into a gig of being the insider for the Kings.
Yep.
You know, which is kind of like the press secretary, you know, is kind of essentially he's the puppet to a dictatorship, you know, or he's a newsman, however you want to interpret that, you know. And I distinctly remember my early days of going into this game of sitting behind Johnny Rosen and watching him take off his headset, turn around, engage some fans verbally who must have been heckling him, put his headset back on and continue with the game. And I'm like, that is awesome. I don't know what those dudes were getting on him about, but you can't turn around and give it back to him, can you? Like, okay, Rosen, go for it, you know. And to be honest, I liked him as a play-by-play guy, but that, I thought that was pretty interesting. I felt, and I don't even sit on that side of the ice ever, but I did it that night, I guess. So I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, I mean, you know, so essentially, Rosen moved up to the NHL. Is the bottom line. So, you know, I mean, it is possible.
Yeah, you talk about Scooter, and in the podcast I just did yesterday with Andy Ide, we talked about how we were complaining about the web feeds, the video feeds, a little bit. And
yeah, I'm with you.
But then we started talking about the fact that, well, it's, you know, when we were growing up, and I grew up here, and Andy grew up in Seattle, and we followed the teams and where we grew up, and We would have loved. I mean, we didn't even know about the internet yet at that point. So it was like, but just the concept of actually being able to watch games and see the other rinks in the league and hear the other radio broadcasters. We never heard that. All we heard, I only heard Scooter Roman describe Winterhawk games to me from the time I was 5 years old until, you know, 6 years ago, whatever it was. So so to have this access is something this. You know, would have been mind-blowing to me as a kid, you know, knowing that, because I didn't know what Seattle's radio guy sounded like when I was growing up. I didn't know anything about Bob Ridley growing up or, you know, people like that. So it was like, we have it a lot better than we did, and even if we do complain about these video feeds sometimes.
it's better by the day. You know, I mean, I can, with this fancy phone, I can walk the dogs and listen to Calgary and keep them last round. And I did. You know, I can be out and about, you know, on a Saturday afternoon and be listening to some random game. You know, it's so good. You know, I mean, this season, you know, I was at a Winterhawks game. It's intermission. I watched, you know, my favorite NHL team in a shootout, watched it on my phone on the concourse of the Rose Garden, and then went right back in and finished watching the Junior League game. You know, it's so good that the kind of, you know, what we have access to. You know, I listen to Tuesday's Pipeline show. I podcast at work on Wednesday. But the Saturday morning show, I just stream it live. You know, we didn't have that. It's just so good, you know, that what you have access to nowadays. And yeah, it'll it'll get better, you know. I mean, my condolences go out to anybody that wants to stream a game from the Memorial Coliseum. You know, my understanding is that's about the worst in the league. But for this particular series, I'm really excited about that Shaw feed. Well, I guess I didn't think about it, especially in that barn, that we are guaranteed at least one game in the Coliseum. But I'm especially excited about the Shaw feed for the road games because Victoria is probably my least favorite webcast, you know, currently in the league. So I'm really happy we're going to get the Shaw feed for the road games.
Yeah, they have Victoria has a lot of graphics that come up during play, right?
Yeah, if I remember correctly, yes. There's a lot of, you know, text to this number to win a hat.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot, and that's what you have to do, particularly in a crowded market like Victoria. They got a BCHL team that's doing well in their playoffs. They have a midget team that's in the finals of their league or something along those lines. You know, there's lower level teams in Nanaimo that are doing well. It's for a town that size in a remote location, there's a lot of competition for your hockey attention with the major junior team. So, you know, I mean, I get it that it's probably you have to go all out to sell things, but that doesn't make me any less frustrated when I'm trying to watch the feed online.
Yeah, well, I think they just show I assume they're just showing the Jumbotron feed. That's what I think they're doing.
And I think that's true in most.
And that's actually what, at the Rose Garden or, you know, Moda Center or whatever, that's what's shown for those webcasts. Because whenever the Winterhawks score a goal at the Moda Center on the webcast, they actually then, when they're announcing who scored the goal, they show the picture of the goal scorer and then whoever has the assists. So they actually do miss some play. Because they're just showing the Jumbotron feed on WHL Live. So you actually see those, or when they do the slow motion replays while the game's going on again. So so even here, they do miss action because they're showing whatever's on the Jumbotron at that time.
When you have a Jumbotron like the Rose Garden, that's what you do. You play be damned. Look at this clock. We have the best clock. You wish you had a clock like this. You know, speaking of, you know, I'm hoping next, at least by next deadline, they take the light bright and a couple of firsts and trade for, a mediocre clock for next door, but that's a whole different discussion.
Well, they tried the new rear projection screen at one end.
Hey, and you know what? That thing looks pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Except for it's only as good as the camera feeding it.
Yeah.
You know, and I sit, you know, 5 feet from the guy with that camera, and I'm real confident that that thing takes a VHS tape in the side.
Yeah.
And this year they have upgraded the camera as far as he at least has a color readout now. Prior to this year, it was this itty-bitty black and white thing was the viewfinder. So, and of course, I'm like, well, you upgraded part of the camera. You probably could have swapped the whole thing out, but yeah. You know, again, that's me. I'm spending money like a millionaire on, you know, in the barn that me and you own and Paul Allen runs, and, you know, obviously very complicated scenario. Paul Allen would sell me a beer. It'd be one thing if you know, Gallagher was making $9 a beer, but he ain't. It's all Paul Allen in a barn me and you own. You know, when I'm in charge, I'm going to pass a law that says you can't charge more than $6 for a beer in there, since it's a publicly owned building. But that's why they don't elect me. You know, that's we have talked on the Puck Landy broadcast about, you know, daydreamed about Seattle upsetting Kelowna and Portland taking care of business and getting Seattle in the next round, which would mean Tuesday $2 beer game, meaning that you could drive from here to there counting gas, and beer would still be cheaper than here in the Rose Garden.
Right.
Being how I've seen charts, and if the Rose Garden had NHL games, they would have the highest beer prices in the NHL.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yes, I've seen it. I've seen the chart.
Wow. Huh.
Yeah, which is a little frustrating to me. I just had to train myself not to drink beer, which makes hockey not as fun. If you go to a couple games a year, yeah, go crazy. If you go to 36 games a year, you go to 50 games a year, well, I got that kind of money. You know, had one before, one after.
Yeah, what, 2 beers a game at 50 games? That's $1,000 a year.
If you got a girlfriend or a wife, you're gonna have to double that. So yeah, I have a couple in the third on occasion. Oh, I mean, not a couple in the same game. I mean, I have one in the third every once in a while.
Right.
And it makes hockey better for me. God, it's just. And again, if Gallagher was making the money, I might even feel better about it.
Yeah, he's making $0 off that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's in the black. My understanding was it took 3 years of success to make it into the black, which is amazing to me. But again, you're starting from scratch. You're better off with an expansion team than what you got.
Yeah.
He bought this team. But, you know, it is a beautiful story that he ever even did get to the black. Now, I imagine this year they're probably doing pretty good in the black, if I was to guess. You know, I mean, it's the only team in the league seen an increase in attendance over last year, which is amazing.
Seattle did too.
Oh, did they?
Yeah. There were two teams.
I know, and I must saw that number earlier in the season.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm somewhat curious as to how they would define being profitable, because I know that I still know they spend a lot of money and are rather free about it, because he doesn't necessarily, I mean, he still wants to make money, but I think he's more interested in keeping the team.
Yeah, I don't
team going at a high level. So I don't know exactly what his actual amount of money he's spending versus how much money he's bringing in. I don't know what the ratio there is.
The profitability is not the point.
Right.
You know, I mean, Gallagher tends to lay low, which is fine. Again, that's the way to do it. You know, but if you ask Terry Pegula in Buffalo, he says, if I want to make money, I will drill another oil well. It's not the point. You know, of course, it hasn't worked in Buffalo, clearly, but sorry, Dylan. But, you know, it's the same thing here. You know, it's a toy. It's fun. It's recreation. It's, oh, hey, look at that. We made some money, too. But, you know, it's not really the idea. And he gets the concept of you have to spend it to make it. You know what? Was it you, Scott, that did the piece a couple of years back about during the JJJ era they had 8 full-time employees and then they were up to 40 employees at one point?
Yeah, I did write some stuff about that. I don't remember exactly what the number was that they got to. I know that they had... I know in the first season they had tripled the staff. But I don't know... Off the top of my head, I don't remember exactly what number, if it was 40 or what number they actually got to. But yeah, it's a relatively large number compared to what they were at.
You've got to spend it to make it, you know? And that's... I've worked for lots of guys that no concept of that. And, you know, it's... I've heard stories, you know, off the record of, you know, the scouting staff and the GM himself, you know, driving from here to Calgary because... Well, you know, you want to go check them out. But, you know, it's on you. You know, and that kind of thing. And you're not going to win games that way. Not only is it going to hurt you in the immediate, you know, that's the next 3 years, the next 4 years, that you were essentially just throwing away because, well, you know, we want to save a couple bucks. I mean, literally a couple bucks.
Yeah.
And that's no way to live, in my opinion. So you get oil money and tar sands money at that, which here in Portland, you know, a lot of fans might have, you know, mixed feelings about, but at least it's going to something that you're excited about. You know, at least it's going to a positive in that, you know, you have, well, it's funny how it works. You know, you have a scout in Edmonton named DeChamplain who seems to find a player named DeChamplain. I mean, that's funny how that works. But, you're finding these kids, all these kids out of Omaha we're getting. You know, it's just been really amazing the kind of stones that they've looked under and found some of these players. You know, which might be a nice segue, you know, that a lot of people discuss Mike Johnston and finding these players. And is he a genius? Is it luck? Is it a combination? Obviously, it's a combination. You know, there's no extremes. Everything's somewhere in the middle. But, you know, Ryan Johansson, that it was a seventh-round pick that the previous regime didn't even give a chance. He was going to go to Northwestern. You know, and you don't want to go to Northwestern. I mean, what kind of school is that?
And no, he was going to go to Northeastern.
Oh, Northeastern. Okay, see, that's a legit school. I mean,
yeah, we don't have an actual real hockey team at Northwestern. So,
okay, yeah, I mean, like I said, you wouldn't want to go there anyway, but you know, and I distinctly remember in training camp, watching Johansson fight Brad Ross. You know, and that was clearly not the game he was going to play. But you know, I got to stand out in training camp. I got to try to win a shot here. You know, maybe this is where I need to go. I mean, he was, you know, so what, 6'3", 200? You know, and so you could say, you know, so they found Johansson. You know, that's great. And then you look at these guys, you know, Chase Delio was a 9th-round pick. And Brandon Leipzig was a 6th-round pick. You know, and some of these guys, you know, your Iversons and your Bittners that were listed, that even David Kidd drafted. You know, and they, essentially some of these guys fell out of the sky, you know, and you look at a guy like Kirill Vorbarev, you know, who I was pretty high on, a lot of guys were, you know, and my understanding there is they didn't even know who this guy was. They're just like, well, you know, he's already over here. See what happens. And so that one, you know, they were clearly lucky on, even if they passed up on him to go for Cederholm. But how many times can they be lucky? And how many times does it have to be a real? At some point, it has to be a real thing that they know what they're doing. That they find gold in a lot of these guys that, you know, nobody else really saw. You know, 25 teams passed on Bjorkstrand. You know, I mean, a lot of teams wish they had that back, including Vancouver that had the number one pick in Osipov. I was working that angle a little bit.
Yeah,
he said this is a dude that I've never heard of, you've never heard of, I haven't noticed him ever, but except for, oh yeah, he's there, you know, the number one overall, you know, import pick. And sometimes, you know, you hit, you know, Berchi was the number two overall import pick. You know, Ty Ratty was the number two overall Bantam pick, and Pouliot was number one. So you'd like to think you could hit with that. But sometime for fun, look up, you know, Nick Patan went 16th overall in his Bantam year. Look at the 15 guys who went before him. Okay, there's a guy in Seattle who went 4th. Which guy is that? His name escapes me right now.
That was Hoff, I believe, Jared Hoff.
Exactly. And you know what? He's good. But they passed on Patan. You know, I mean, I don't think there's a one of them that's better than Nick Patan at this point, which is probably easy to say, but you know, and there's some guys I've never heard of, some guys that are pretty decent, but still, you know, I remember when they picked Patan, and I was like, he picked a dude that's 5'9", 140, whatever he was. I'm like, man, I don't know about that. And obviously I was wrong, you know, and we'll continue to be wrong for another year. But I mean, they've done such a good job. Yeah, obviously you got to get lucky. You know, I was just listening to Hockey Central at Noon, which out of Toronto on Sportsnet, and they're saying that's how you get good. You know, the Pittsburghs and the Chicagos of the world NHL is you have to draft well, you have to get free agents in a you know, an effective manner, and you got to get lucky on some guys. You know, you got to find a Zetterberg in the 7th round and a Datsyuk in the 9th round. You know, and God, the Winterhawks, they have a hit with that. You know, they find these guys. You know, Matt Carruth was just laying around, you know, and they got him, they listed him, you know, for nothing. And look what they got out of it. You know, Troy Rutkowski was listed. So it's been interesting to see how they just keep finding these guys. And you got to assume they're just going to keep doing it, you know.
Well, you know, it is a bit of a loophole to an extent that there are this whole American territory that has been so underutilized over the years in WHL. There's still a divide where a lot of teams don't touch these kids because they don't think they can get them to come. And a team like Portland can go in and say, hey, you can come play in this great league and you don't have to leave your country, and if you believe you're a draft prospect, you don't. You can be drafted at eight, you know, at after your 17-year-old season, and play with us for another year or two, and be in the pros at 20, and that's a pretty good. It's a pretty good pitch to a player who's from California or Texas or Minnesota or someplace like that that might not understand what's going on, and they might not know what Swift Current is or Kootenai or Lethbridge or places like that. But if they can say, oh, I can go live in Portland, Oregon, or I can go live in, you know, in the Seattle area or places like that, they can, at least it's a familiar sounding place and a place they know that they're going to be in their own country and things like that. And I think that that's, it really seems like Mike Johnson wanted to exploit that right when he came in, and he's done it well, and there's no team that's working that angle better right now.
It's, to me, it's like we've already discussed tonight about the evolution you go through as a fan to what is the Western League? You know, how does it work? And essentially, you're finding these 13-year-old kids, these 14-year-old kids that are real good. They got no idea what the hell the Western League is, at least not in Fontana, not in Huntington Beach. You know, I mean, they do in Medicine Hat, they know all about the Western League. But, you know, again, they're finding these guys out of Denver. They're finding these guys out of Phoenix. You know, they got no idea. But at the same time, guys out of California, they don't know NCAA either. No concept there. You know, and so you are completely on even footing with the NCAA in places like California, these non-traditional places, even in Washington, you know. But, you know, whereas as opposed to a place like Minnesota to where, you know, they want to be a Gopher. And so you're pitching these guys, and I've heard, you know, a lot of these interviews, you know, on Ron Callen's show to where they're like, well, yeah, they came to me, and I was like, Portland? Where's that? What's that like? You know, but, you know, the one thing I go back to, and I heard Keone Teixeira on Ron Callen's show this week, to where, and I distinctly remember when he came to town, and it was during the finals, it had to be the Edmonton series, the first one. And, you know, and they do that thing. They do that pitch. They get these guys in town, and then, you know, they throw it over to him, the PA guy, you know, Sean Norris, and he says, and, you know, welcome to town on a visit, Keone Teixeira. And the place is the full house. The barn is rocking. Kid kind of stands up and waves, you know, kind of Miss America style, and the whole place is going nuts. He's got this look on his face like, wow. And I remember he had this little look on his face. And I turned to my girl and I said, yeah, that dude's signing. we got him. Yeah, that's going to work. You know, and thank God it did. I mean, that kid is amazing. You know, I really think he might be the best defenseman out of the whole bunch, out of these guys. We've seen some real good guys the last couple of years. And the sky is the limit with Teixeira.
Yeah, he's going to be the best defenseman on the team next year, I think.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
Or at least the most relied upon, maybe that's a better word for it. I don't know, I think he's going to be the guy, because Mike Johnson likes the Pouliot type, and Teixeira is the Pouliot type, more so than any other guy that's going to be back next year, because Pouliot and Dubber are going to be gone.
Well, yeah, there is that, but I mean, to me... You know, and maybe, you know, I'm an eternal optimist. I have rose garden colored glasses, as we've established. To me, it's almost a deal to where it's not a zero sum game anymore, that you have an Adam Foote and you have a Sanders Ozilinch and there's nothing in between. You know, to me, what you're seeing more and more is a Lucas Bisa. You know, you're seeing these guys. Are you a stay at home guy? Are you an offensive guy? Do you do it all? You know, yeah, I would lump Dumba into that category. I would lump 19-year-old Derek Pouliot into that category. Maybe not so much 18 or 17-year-old Derek Pouliot.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that's the direction the league is going, that, well, we want you to do all of it. We want you to play well 200 feet. You know, and to me, I know he's only got that one goal, and it was a big goal, but he jumps up. He's only made a couple 16-year-old mistakes in his entire 16-year-old year, you know. And I'm just really high on Teixeira. Is that I really like that well-rounded game with speed, with good first pass out of the zone, with jumping up into the play. You know, I think he, I really like the thing, sky's the limit with him.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I wanted to touch on something. You're talking about Minnesota, and I remember in the Memorial Cup and talking to Keegan Iverson there, and he's from the Minneapolis area.
St. Louis Park.
Yeah, St. Louis Park. And he, I was talking to him before the Memorial Cup final, and he was trying to explain, you know, because I said, you know, do people back home understand what you're doing here? Like, do they understand how big of an event this is? It's, you know, a national event in Canada. And he said, mostly no. He said, mostly they just wonder why I'm not home for summer yet. Like, they're like, why aren't you home yet? Like, come home. Like, and it was kind of funny that there's still a long way to go in Minnesota. even with players starting to come out this way from there. And certainly having a guy like that and having, you know, Bittner and then, you know, a couple of guys on other teams, you know, Walker up in Victoria and Bear and Vancouver, and they're starting to become a little bit more of a profile there, and it can only help because they go back home, they tell their friends about the league and what they're going through, but still not quite there yet. They still not quite sure about this league.
Yeah, I've got friends and family in Minnesota, and the high school tournament is on TV up there. You know, and during the year, you know, if the Wild have Friday off, Friday nights high school hockey on TV.
Yeah.
You know, how many Winterhawks games we get on TV? 5. You know, and half of them are home games. You know, it's whatever Shaw carries that Comcast decides to piggyback on. You can watch high school hockey in Minnesota on a regular basis. You know, they have no idea about the Western League. You know, and the high school tournament is huge up there. And it's over by now. It's certainly over by the time that Memorial Cup rolls around, you know. And, you know, there's probably not good information out there, but, you know, I think a lot of us have seen that, you know, when Paul Bittner defected and came over here to the WHL, you know, his dad was the coach locally, and he had to resign. There was so much heat over it. I mean, essentially, it's the Marion Stastny and Peter Stastny, you know, defecting from the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
You know, it's Alexander Mogilny getting off the bus and just straight hiding when they're over here for a tournament. I mean, in order for some of these Minnesota kids to go out west, I mean, you know, they're pole vaulting the Berlin Wall at that point with the Bear kid out of Vancouver and some of the guys here in Portland. I mean, it's been pretty interesting to see it shake down, I think it's going to be more and more as time goes on. I mean, those guys all know each other.
Yeah.
How many guys from Huntington Beach were on this team at one point this year? 4. How long we got? We probably got a decent amount of footage, right?
Oh yeah, we got an hour and a half.
Oh really?
So I'll probably break this up into 2.
Well, there you go. I guess we didn't necessarily do a lot of preview stuff,
I'll probably do that first part as I'll probably cut that up first that has some of the preview stuff in it. Put that out tomorrow, and then I'll save this other stuff for maybe a couple days later.
There you go.
Since it's not not time sensitive.
Yeah, that's the idea. It's tough. It's tough with the time sensitive stuff, especially when you're doing it, you know, right before the series starts, or right, you know. Like I listened to Frank's show after it was before they'd played any games, and I listened to it after they were done.
Yeah, the series was basically over by the time I posted it because I didn't have time to put it together before that.
Well, and then I didn't notice that you even posted it until right after that.
I'm glad you're doing the blog and the podcast because I do enjoy your yapping.
Well, so. You know, and hopefully we get better at podcasting. It's you know, technology has been kind of, you get what you pay for. And, you know, I'm a machinist. I'm, you know, I don't know how that stuff works, but
yeah,
it's been fun. And I appreciate, you know, I mean, it's as far as being a big fish in a small pond, you know, the fact that you've invited me, you know, it's kind of more on the ride at the moment, you know. So I like that.
Well, yeah, I'm just happy there's people out there that the care.
Yeah.
You know? So it's almost... The idea of reaching out to the people, for me, reaching out to people in Seattle and there's not really a blogger in Everett or Tri-City right now, so I wish there was, because I'd like there to be more of a community that we all kind of talk to each other and interact and things like that. Cause...
And that might be a product of having, his name escapes me, Nick, what the hell is his name?
Yeah, Nick does a really good job covering the team there, and... You know, so they don't have as much of a deficiency, I guess, in coverage there. Because he actually has a blog within the site and does live chats and does...
As well as Annie Fowler.
And Annie does, you know, yeah, she does not quite as much as Nick does, but she does a lot. There was a blogger for the AMs, but she kind of didn't do it this year. So,
well...
Because I originally talked to her about doing a podcast, but she didn't really... wasn't following as closely this year. I'm on the hook for an entire week of high school coverage, I believe, during the Memorial Cup, so that's going to be fun.
Yeah, well, I like the fact you're optimistic about the need to cover it.
What's that?
Well, to cover the Memorial Cup.
Yeah, well, I'm not going there no matter what, so I know that, but if Portland's playing it, I'm going to be stuck doing high school coverage here.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll see what I can do.
Yeah. But hey, I got to pay the bills, so...
Yeah, speaking of, you gotta go something to eat.
Yeah, so, alright. Thank you, sir.
I appreciate your time, Scott.
Yeah, we worked it out.